I think all these human resources, all human resource related matters emanated from our previous meetings where we raised certain challenges regarding regarding human resource practice in Parliament. So it shouldn't be a very long meeting. Also, the next item, which is consideration of committee reports, those committees they set before us, it's only for us to adopt so that they can finally go and be tabled at the House. And minutes, the last time we did quite very well with minutes, and we had more than 10 sets of minutes. Today we only have 3, so it shouldn't be a problem at all. Members, you're welcome, and thank you very much. Of lately, we are overworked, but that's how things are supposed to be. Can I now invite the executive authority, if there is any member present in the meeting, the Temasondo, Madam Speaker, if any one of you is present, I want to first acknowledge you and welcome you in this meeting and say that if there's anything that you would like to say before the present, before we hand over to the Acting Secretary of Parliament, you should at least have a bite on the item if there is anything that you'd want to say before the item is presented before the committee.
Chairperson, it's Cindy speaking. The executive authority is not in attendance. They're not in the
meeting. Okay. All right. If that's the case, then it's fine. Member Meshawa, the Acting Secretary to Parliament.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm here.
Good afternoon, you're welcome.
Chair, can you start with the apologies before we go to the item?
Oh, I received the apologies, sorry, I received the apologies and all that. But it's fine, for record, yes, for record, you're right. Because, you know, you attend too many meetings, then you think that other things have been addressed. My sincere apologies. Cindy, before we hand over to Meshawa, can you please take us through the apologies, if there are any?
Yes, Chairperson, we received apologies from Mr. Nyambi, Mr. Khai, Mr. Molasane of the NCOP, and Mayor Dlakude and Ms. Lesoma of the NA. We've got sufficient members to proceed with our meeting, but unfortunately we don't have a quorum to adopt the last items.
The last two items?
Yes.
Okay, it's fine. Members, we don't have a quorum to adopt the last two items. It would be important that we reschedule a special agent meeting maybe next week, early next week, so that we process these last two items and avoid what has transpired in the previous tabling of our report in Parliament. Remember, we tabled a report that we discussed a year ago in Parliament, and that caused a lot of confusion and unhappiness. So I would want us to please agree that in the next week we should reconvene a special meeting just to come and adopt the report and the minutes. Is there anything, Chairperson and Honorable Hadebe, that you want to raise before I hand over to Mayor Baby Jawa?
Chairperson, I think that before we arrange, we schedule that meeting, because the other two members, Honorable Nyambi and Honorable Khai, are sick. They are booked off. I think that before we can even schedule that meeting, we must have a quorum on the side of the NCOP. If they are not there, we will not be able to be quorumed. We must establish that. Ne? And then Mayor Dlakude, I think she's coming back next year. Ne? So I think that if we can just establish that first, né, before we call a meeting. But I've been trying to proceed the meeting after the meeting.
All right. Can we give you that responsibility as the whip of the ANC? Because members who are not in attendance, mainly they're from the ANC, so can we give you that responsibility to check for us, Dr. Khadek?
All right. It's fine, sis.
And then in the absence of the two members of the NCOP, I'm sure there are alternative members also serving in this committee from the NCOP. Yeah, but then there's something, it's something that we need to look into as the ANC. So can we then agree that we please assist us with that, get us members, go and negotiate that we get alternatives for this meeting. Yes. To avoid what happened in the previous house sitting, that we cannot adopt reports late and they get tabled in the National Assembly a year after, and that we get blamed for something that we don't have control over. Please. Okay. Ma'am, Acting Secretary to Parliament, are you ready?
I am indeed, co-chair. Honorable Singh has his hand up. I was wondering if...
Sorry, Honorable Singh, sorry, I didn't see your hand. That was
no problem, Chairperson. So then are we saying we're only going to deal with the briefing by the ASTP for now and then consider all the matters sometime in the future?
Yes, because the two items, they require a quorum. We can't adopt anything without us having a quorum. We are here already. I think we should use the opportunity of being here to consider the first agenda item, which doesn't require a quorum.
Thank you, Jefferson.
Okay. Mechawa, over to you.
Thanks, Chair, and good afternoon, Honorable Members. The matter that we are dealing with here is a sequel of presentations we did to the Joint Standing Committee. The meetings were in August, and we did actually respond to a whole range of matters. We have submitted both a narrative that talks to things such as remuneration, how we grade our jobs, how we actually create budget and the equality or inequality of salaries in terms of parliament. So we have actually addressed the bulk of the matters that emerged during our meetings with the committee last year. These reports were submitted, as we always do, within the time given. They were obviously not presented to the meeting today, so it's not that we are responding today on the matters that were raised on the 22nd and 28th of August. I just thought we should contextualize that. The report that we will share with yourselves, Honorable Members, is the one on the HR matters, and it will cover the talent management, timelines, recruitment, management policy. And I'm going to ask Mr. Mugonyana, who is our Human Resources Executive, to present the report to the members. And then, of course, we will take questions and clarifications thereafter. If you allow me, Chairperson, I'll ask Mr. Mokonyana to talk to the presentation. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ma. You're welcome.
No? Mr. Mokonyana?
Thank you very much, ma'am. Good afternoon, Honorable Co-Chairperson and Honorable Members. The presentation... if we can go to slide number 3. We'll start with point 1.1 in terms of employment equity. There are currently 1,323 employees in Parliament, and of these, 824 employees are African, which makes up 62% of the establishment. 373 are colored, representing 28%. 37 are Indian, representing 3% of the establishment. And 89 are white, representing 7% of the establishment. If we go to slide number 4, we basically present our 5-year employment equity plan, which we submit to the Department of Labor on an annual basis to give status of where we are in terms of our targets. And on top of that, we have in place, as per the regulations of the Department of Labor, we do have an employment equity forum in the institution, and it represents employees across different levels, race and gender. And its main role is to provide a development, implementation and review of policies, procedures, practices and interventions that relate to employment equity, as well as to assist in the identification and eradication of barriers and discriminatory policies, procedures and practices. The next slide. In terms of gender equity, building on the employment equity stats that I've just shown, in terms of gender representation, and these were some of the questions, honorable members, that were asked in the previous presentations. With regards to gender equity, 607 of our 1,323 employees, or 46% of the establishment, are male, and 716 or 54% of the field positions are held by female colleagues. Now, if we dig deeper into these numbers, at the bargaining level, the bargaining unit level, 44% of our employees are male and 56% are female. However, the picture unfortunately changes when you now move into the management levels. At the middle management and professional level, which in terms of parliamentary bands are levels D bands. Now this is where you have your senior researchers, your content advisors, and your middle managers, unit and section managers. The makeup there, 55% of the employees are males and 45% are females. If you go to the next level, which is your executive level, out of a total of 16 employees, 10 of them are males, that is 62%, and 38%, which is 6 employees, are female. And currently we only have one employee at a top management level, and that is a female employee. And basically, the table there at the bottom just confirms what I've just presented now. If you go to the next slide. Now, as I've said, we have already identified the issue of representation, especially from a gender point of view, as a major challenge. And the second item also that we are concerned about is as it relates to the our employees with disability. I'll get to that later on. We've already started putting in place programs aimed at trying to turn around the picture that we have it, that we have currently. And some of them are as follows. We already have put in place the first phase of what we call Women in Leadership Program, and that was implemented in 2018. That was specifically a program that is delivered by the University of Stellenbosch, and that is targeted at our female colleagues who are identified to be potential management material to move into management position. The first phase, which was in 2018, the program took on 82 female colleagues into that into the leadership program, and already from the program that we started in 2018, about 4 colleagues already moved into what we call the deep end position, which is management.
My approach, co-chair.
Sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, can we request the presenter to switch on his video? And I also wanted to check the recording. It looks like the meeting is not recorded. I don't see any indication of record.
Cindy Biden?
I'm fine. On record.
Okay. Yeah.
It's record.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have been recording.
Mr. Mkonyana, switch off his video. Switch off your video, Mr. Mkonyana.
Off.
On.
On.
Oh, on. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Can you see me, Kocha? Am I visible?
Yes. Yes, I see you.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
We are extremely visible.
month into the new year 2021. And that will still be offered by the University of Stellenbosch. If we go into the next slide. We also introduced a program that was meant for colleagues at what we call the C-Band, the bargaining unit. Now, this is where we prepare some of our supervisors into also management and senior supervisory levels. And that program was implemented effective January this year. And in there, we set aside 19 slots into that program for our female colleagues with a view to ensure that female colleagues are empowered and that as an approach by the institution it is quite clear that where those roles are put aside. We also, the colleagues, and this was part of the outcomes of one of the project streams from the Women in Leadership program. The colleagues from that program identified the need to establish what is referred to as a parliamentary women's forum. I'm happy to say that also has been established, and we are finalizing the process of giving moving from an interim structure to a formalized structure for the parliamentary women's forum. And the main purpose of the parliamentary women's forum is basically to assist the institution in terms of pursuing its employment equity targets and transformation, but also assist the institution in terms of us as an institution to confront some of the barriers that are in place against women advancement and empowerment. We also are trying to make sure that when we advertise, starting from the beginning of this year, we make sure that our adverts, when we advertise positions, our adverts are clear that females and people with disability are encouraged to apply. And also, when we look at appointments, where we have a strong male and female candidate, priority is given to female candidates. The last appointment that we made at an executive level was actually of a female colleague at the position of a chief information officer. However, I have to say, without a doubt, that in terms of the picture at the top, starting from your deep end and going to the executive level, it's not good at all in terms of the female representation. And it's something that as the administration, we are working hard to make sure that we turn that around. Also, I think I've just touched on the issue of the advertisements, the fact that we do stipulate that we are giving priority to females and people with disability, encouraging them to apply. But I have to also highlight this, and it was in our previous report, honorable members, there was a question that asked whether when it comes to remuneration policies, we discriminate against females, and I can confirm now that definitely not. There's no differentiation between a salary that is offered to a male employee to a female employee. The practice that applies to a male would apply to a female. When a position is advertised, the salary is attached to a position, not in terms of the person that ideally would like to be appointed into that particular role. So in terms of the practices, I can say that without any doubt that we do not discriminate against from a gender point of view. Again, when we were engaging with the female colleagues in terms of understanding what are some of the practices that we can deal with in the institution to try to make the environment more conducive for female colleagues, one of the things that came out very strong was the issue of flexible working arrangement. And to that effect, and I must say that the unfortunate thing with the COVID-19 has to some extent assisted us to realize that it is actually possible for employees of parliament to 2022, hopefully with areas like research and language services, where we'll start piloting the flexible working hours arrangement and see to what extent it can actually assist us to make the environment conducive for all our colleagues and especially our female colleagues. We also have a process of analyzing the succession planning program. And even there, we are unapologetically going to make sure that that program is going to identify female colleagues that are going to be fast-tracked into some of the key positions in the institution. There will be directed training to make sure that we know that when colleagues leave either on retirement or should a colleague decide to resign, that there will be colleagues that will be ready to succeed the colleagues. So that is a succession program that we are also working on to make sure that it helps us to turn around the picture that we currently have. And like I said, it's not a picture that we are proud of. Hence, all these initiatives that we are trying to introduce, and some of them we have introduced to turn around the picture. The next slide, the other area that really we are not happy about and also we are focusing on is with regards to people with disability. Currently, we have 11 colleagues who are registered with disability in the institution. And they are within the National Assembly, Parliamentary Communications for Business, Knowledge and Information Services, and Institutional Support Services. Now, I mean, 11 colleagues are less than 1%. And that is definitely not acceptable. And true to that, as I've highlighted earlier with regards to strategies around empowering female colleagues, we are also driving those strategies when it comes to employees with disability. As I've said, in terms of our job adverts, we clearly see that people with disability and females are encouraged and are invited to apply for vacant positions. But also, I'll be touching on the issue of graduate development later on when it comes to youth empowerment. However, I would like to just highlight here when it comes to employees with disability that with regard to that graduate program, we have set aside 20% of the positions where we are going to, and that's the minimum of the positions that we are going to bring in graduates for those positions to be filled by our graduates from people with disability. Also, added to that, we are currently in the process of finalizing a memorandum of understanding with an organization called the South African Disability Alliance, and that's a consultative forum of national disability associations. And the main purpose, amongst others, is to ensure that we are able to tap into their database in terms of future employment for colleagues for people with disability. Because, honorable members, even though we put it into our address specifically that we do encourage people with disability to apply, still to date, we find that very few applicants out there from people with disability apply. So we then wanted to make sure that we at least engage with an association that is representative of at least a number of organizations with a view to at least get to understand maybe where are we going wrong. But also, tapping the database that they have and to use that to at least when we advertise, our intention is that we will also send our adverts to these organizations so that they can also send us some of the employees who are, or candidates who are on their databases. So we are in the process of finalizing the MOU. The two parties have referred the draft MOU to their legal department. Next slide. There was a question that was raised in one of our presentations, honorable members, with regards to the retention of In 2017-2018, there were 34 resignations, in, which amounted to 2.74% of the establishment. In 18-19-27, 19-20, 20 employees, and currently we only had 3 resignations to date, 6 months, for 6 months. And like I was saying, as it can be seen, the number of voluntary resignations is steadily declining. And we believe that some of the reasons why we're actually seeing quite a slowdown in the resignations. One of the issues that was raised by the colleagues as they were exiting then, for our deep end level, we used to have contracts where employees were employed on fixed term contracts. Now, in 2018, a decision was taken that we will review that, and employees at the deep end are now employed permanently. And to an extent, we have seen that there is actually that reduction, because in 2019-20, already there were 7 less employees who resigned, and currently, as I've said, only 3 employees have resigned so far. And basically, also, I think the other thing, and this was also asked, honorable members, to say at our next presentation, we must come and give some of the reasons that were given by colleagues over the years in terms of exit interviews for colleagues that were leaving the institution. Some of the reasons that were given, one, as I've just touched on it, it was the nature of employment contracts. I mean, we had colleagues that would resign from Parliament to move to a job that is exactly the same level, and in some cases even slightly lower salary, purely because where they are going, they are being offered a permanent job. And unfortunately, some of those colleagues were colleagues in areas where it becomes so difficult to build that particular position. Another challenge, unfortunately, is the geographic location of the Western Cape and the cost of living. And that, or especially on the cost of living side, honorable members, when we do salary negotiations, we are able to see when we access information from SSA that on average the CPI in the Western Cape, especially in Cape Town, is normally 1% above the national CPI. So there is some truth to the fact that the Western Cape is a bit more costly than other areas, especially when you think about the inland provinces. And as such, whenever we enter into salary negotiations, that has always been one of the factors that is taken into consideration in terms of salary negotiations. There were also issues with regards to family commitments that were forcing colleagues to resign and go back to their home provinces. And as such, we started looking at possible products that we could offer for our colleagues, amongst others, what we call a group life scheme. It used to be a challenge when, for example, an employee passed on or their partner passes on in the Western Cape and the colleague comes from one of the inland provinces, because they have to find it in their own funding or pocket to pay for the repatriation of the remains and even the goods of the employee. Of their partner. Through a product like the Group Life Scheme that we introduced, that helped a lot. At least some of those challenges are now being dealt with by or covered by the scheme, where an employee's remains will be transported through the scheme and all of that, even their family members. So, yes, it's unfortunate that it deals with issues of, for example, death or disability. However, those are also bread and butter issues that were being raised by our colleagues, and we at least attended to them. Career opportunities, again, colleagues raised that as an issue, that in Parliament one will stay in a position for 10, 20, 30 years. And through the restructuring program that we started a year ago, that process is also, amongst others, trying to look at career progressions within various functional areas. And we are hoping that will bear fruit in terms of the career opportunities in the institution. The same as the issue of the workload and the type of work that colleagues are actually involved in. So those are some of the strategies that we are putting in place in terms of even doing better than we are doing. If you look at it, honorable members, our retention strategies are still quite good, but we are saying it doesn't mean we must sit on our laurels. We must continue being innovative and introducing better strategies to retain employees. The other issue that we thought we will bring to the attention of members is just to present a picture of our age profile in the institution. Out of the 1,323 employees, 2% of our employees, or maybe let me say 9% of our employees, are between the age of 20 to 34. And then you have 17%, 35 to 39, 40 to 44, age group 16, 45 to 49, 23%, 50 to 54, 18%, 55 to 64, 17%, and going through of the colleagues who are over 65. That picture, honorable members, basically, when it comes to the average age in Parliament, the current average age in Parliament is 46 years old. So obviously that there is a positive side of it in the sense that we have more experienced people in the institution with more years of experience. However, the challenge as well is that I think if honorable members look at the from the age of 50 and above, you have a total of over 450 employees out of the 1,300 are over the age of 50. Whereas the youth category, which is 34 and below, you only have 9%. So that is one of the reasons that we then said, as an institution, we also need to turn around that picture and start to introduce more youth into the institution. When you look back at a couple of years back, a number of our colleagues that are in the institution came in within that category under the age of 34. But like you are saying, because the retention is quite good, most of them have stayed in the organization. And obviously, most of the colleagues are over the age of 35. But to address that, in terms of the age profile, we are introducing what is referred to as the Graduate Development Program. And the main purpose of that is obviously one, to create employment. There is a high unemployment rate in our country. And also to ensure that we create a pipeline for employees in Parliament. And especially, honorable members, quite a number of, especially our core business functions. Most of those functions are not the functions that you can just go to school and come ready-made to come and do those functions. So our view and through that program is that at least we will groom colleagues that young colleagues that will grow into the system, understand how things are done in Parliament, and grow with the institution. And as such, currently we are bringing in a total of 40 employees, young graduates, and across different areas of the institution, including catering, including the facilities area, but also even in core business, such as your legal services, your house, as such, your houses, NA and COP. I just have said earlier, honorable members, a minimum of 20% of those positions are set aside for graduates from people with disability. And that is the minimum. If we are able to get more young graduates from the that category, we will like to offer them employment in the program in Parliament. Next slide. The next slide basically is to give if you look at into the block or the column recruitment progress, the talent search is complete, and the next step will be the shortlisting, and that is earmarked for the 30th of October. The head treasury advisor, let me also just hasten to say, honourable members, that when it comes to the head of security, treasury advice, the CFO, we did have the first round of recruitment where we even interviewed candidates. However, we could not, they still could not find the right or suitable candidate to be appointed. So this is a process that now has restarted, and that's why we are using a talent search process where we are being helped by the talent search organization that was appointed through an SEM process. The head treasurer advice, the talent search has been initiated, and the shortlisting is earmarked for the 13th of November, because currently we are still, the service provider is getting us the correct CV. That is a very new function in the parliamentary administration, and from our engagements with the talent search company, it has not been that easy to identify, identify people that could be considered for the recruitment process for such a role. The chief finance officer, we completed the process recently. We couldn't find a suitable candidate. It has been restarted as well, and the shortlisting date would be the 13th of November. The secretary to parliament, the advent has gone out. The honourable members, just to update the honourable members, the advent will be out in the newspaper this coming weekend and even on online portals. Again, that is a re-advertisement. The first advertisement went out and there were 19 applicants, and the executive authority looked at that, and the request to the accounting officer was that we need to re-advertise at least to broaden the pool of the applicants. The chief audit executive, again, even for that one, there was a re-advertisement, and the advert closed, and this coming week there will be a shortlisting process which will be followed by interviews and psychometric assessment on those dates that have been outlined there. And finally, the director of PBO, obviously the interviews have already taken place, and currently the process is at the vetting stage for the identified candidate. Honourable members and Acting Secretary, I think I'll pause there, ma'am, with your guidance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. We're done with our presentation. Thank you so much for listening. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. And let's also take this opportunity to welcome the report. Before I hand over to members, Co-Chair, would you like to continue with the question and answer session? Ms. Mashangu? Co-Chairperson? Okay, it's fine.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to continue with the questions and answer session?
I was caught up in something, sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, I was checking if you would be okay. Okay, fine. I'm handing over to you now.
No, I'm fine. You can continue. Question, can you continue, please? We have Honorable Peggy Hadebe, Honorable Tim. Who else? From your side, Cindy, do you see anyone else?
Oh, okay, it's fine. Let me continue. And okay. Identify my... I will tell you now. Let me go to participants. I see Tim. I see and member Hadebe. Those are the two hands that I see for now. Tim, over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Sis Mabe. I do believe that Mr. Hadebe was first, so I will allow him to go first.
All right, team, we are really honorable, ne? You are really honest and honorable.
Oh no, I just saw the hands and I felt that maybe Tim was the first one, Khadebe was the second one. It was
no,
not
man,
in any order. All right.
No, B comes first before T, man.
Oh no, I did not follow the alphabetical order. I just felt Tim was the first one. Tim could have been the first one to raise his hand. So
no,
I did not follow the order. It's fine. Over to you, Comrade Khadebe.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think that first of all, we have to welcome this report, you know. Although it's almost over a year late, but it's understandable because of the conditions we're coming from, you know. But what I'd really like to appreciate is the steadfastness of Parliament in complying with the Employment Equity Act. I think that when you look at the Employment Equity Act, it's very clear that it is not anti-white or anti-male. You know. The issue is that we try as much as possible to reflect the demographics of the country. So I think up to this point, I think it is doing well. That's why they must be commended on that regard today. And then, but what's also appreciated is their retention strategy. If you can look at the resignation rate, which is so low, 0.23, it shows that there's something which is good, which is being done. But what is very important is the issue of mentoring. Now, I think that that slide which dealt with the age of the land of the employees of Parliament, you see that the youth is represented very lowly there in that graph. But I think that it can be a blessing in disguise, because what is critical here is that even this youth, it must be mentored into the system. It must be mentored. So I think that even before we lose the old talent, the old workhorses, they must ensure that their experiences are shared with the ones which are young. But what is also very critical is the issue of how do we compare with other parliaments, in particular we're in the SADC region, in the Africa as a continent. When coming to the issue of gender empowerment, the issue of disability, although it's disappointing the part of disability, how do we compare? Did you compare with that? But what is also very important is the issue of empowerment. This Women in Leadership program, from what degree, when a person gets, when goes into that course or to that program, what degree does she come out with? Because what I like is the Canadian model, that what they do is that as they empower the people, né, the historical disadvantaged people, but the issue of knowledge is very critical. They empower them through education. So I'm very happy that there's that leadership program, but can they expand it further? What does it entail? In which areas are they trained, né, so that they are able to compete? Because what we do is that we're not only training for Parliament, is that the people who get trained must be able to get work outside Parliament. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm very happy with this report which is in front of us. But what is very important is that Parliament must become the employer of choice in government. You know? It must become the employer of choice. So it can only do that if people are empowered accordingly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Khadebe. Tim?
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, you know, I'm the father of two daughters, and therefore I'm very glad to see that our sisters are being empowered, and I'm glad to see those figures. However, I need to speak up today for the mothers, and the slide that referred to the flexible working hours, whilst I report, I welcome that. You know, an issue that has been on the back burner for a long time in Parliament is what, and most, you know, Honourable Khadebe spoke about the employer of choice. Most progressive, forward-thinking companies around the world make sure that in their establishment, in their precinct, they have some sort of a creche facility so that mothers can bring their children to work. and during their breaks can go and check on their children. There are numerous studies that show that that interaction with children during your workday is massively important, both for the child but also for the mother. And I just want to know what Parliament is going to do to consider the various studies around that model and to consider whether or not some space or some area in Parliament can be set aside for a creche facility for young children so that mothers can bring their children to work. And in terms of the costs, the ongoing costs, it should be kept in mind that many of those mothers and or parents already are paying for those costs already. So I'm sure that they'd be willing to contribute, and it would be so much more convenient for them to actually have their children at Parliament with them. I just really think it's something worth considering. I know that above the Good Hope Centre, there is a whole building there that used to be an old pub, an old bar, obviously frequented by the National Party ministers back in the day. That is an area, for instance, that is a lovely outside area that could quite easily be a creche and wouldn't necessarily affect meetings, etc. And I know it's a big ask, but I really think that Parliament should consider such a facility in the parliamentary precinct. Chair, I do have some other questions that are outside of this presentation. Can I keep them for after we're done with the presentation?
Yes, that's fine. Pack everything that is outside the presentation.
Please, if you can just note that I've just got two issues I want to raise after we're done with the presentation. Thank you.
No problem. Do we have hands again? Let me check. All right. Just a comment from me. To say that.
No, Chair.
Hello. Oh, Umphile Mautwe?
Yes, ma'am.
Umphile, you're on the platform. It's fine.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. I didn't want you to respond and then I come as if I'm responding to you now. But thanks, Chair. The presentation is welcomed, but my issue that I have is that you want to break down race from gender. And if you're going to be wanting to address employment equity, you must look at both jointly. So your first graph that shows the race and then the gender breakdown, that's fine, but that's how far it goes. And I'm quite happy that you even benchmarked with what Department of Labor has set out as a target. And I must say for that, I commend you. But when you go to the category level, for example, it's not telling us, hey, this female, is it, what race is it? Is it African? Is it Indian? And senior management, there's 6 females and 10 males. So if we can also get the same breakdown of the race of this category, it will be really helpful, because in as much as you say on the first slide that Africans are 62%, but where are they in the organization? Are they at the lower level? What percentage is this in the middle management, in the professional senior management and all that? So if we can have that breakdown. And also if you look at your strategy to address the gender equity, the presenter was telling us about the Parliamentary Women's Forum, which has been established. Can we get the mandate of this forum and what does it seek to achieve? What is its objective? And how are they going to then achieve that objective? It will be really helpful for us to see if by the end of this financial year we'll be able to meet the target. And then on the resignation, do we normally conduct exit interviews that will ordinarily give you a view of why are people leaving Parliament? If you look at the resignations in 2017-2018, there were 34. They've come down in 2018-2019. They are sitting now at 3 today. Maybe COVID-19 has helped us a lot from people resigning. But perhaps if we conduct exit interviews, we'll get to know what makes people to leave, and you might then want to use those issues to then address them on your retention strategy. And also when you look at the breakdown of the age profile, do we have knowledge management in place, and how effective is this to address the issue of the 17% that is sitting between 55 and 64 years, so that they are able to then start translating the skills, transferring the skills and knowledge to the younger ones? So if I can be clarified on that one. And also the last one, Chair, will be, I see that the Secretary to Parliament position has been or will be re-advertised, but we aim to have the person starting on the 1st of April. Do we have reasons why it's taking so long for us to, in terms of the planning itself, meaning this is just a plan. It can even go beyond the 1st of April. But if we're already planning for it to be the next financial year, what are the reasons that are pushing us to have this plan of the incumbent coming in only in April? And I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Let me check if there are any more hands, none. Okay. Thanks for the presentation. And I think your opening remarks gave me a sense of comfort by clarifying allegations of discriminatory practices around remuneration based on gender. I think some departments were activated in one of our meetings, but if we're getting an confirmation from HR that there is no such practice, that people are treated equally as employees, not based on gender and race, that gave me a sense of comfort, and thank you for that. My second issue would relate to institutional memory. We are all concerned, I think Member Maoto as well has raised the issue of understanding if we're saying we are not doing well in terms of women and women in senior positions, it could mean that a large number of women are at an entry level or lower level. So she raised it. I just wanted to emphasize on it. If you can just give us that breakdown. Let's see, where are these women? I want to recommend that as and when there are positions in Parliament, senior positions in Parliament, at all levels, consider the internal employees first, and that's when you can open for external people. But I don't see anyone who can be more qualified than the people who are already there internally. So let it be a circle, and let it be a chance of people who've been within the system for them to be able to grow. I'm also happy that you want to improve in terms of recruitment of people with disabilities. We'll keep an eye on that, because there's a policy on that, that the recruitment should consider 2% of people with disabilities. And also, okay, yeah, I think those are my few issues. Again, this item also finds itself in your annual performance plan, so we'll be keeping an eye on it. Otherwise, we thank you, even though it took time for you to come and report back to the portfolio committee, but thank you very much for the update. Over to you, Mem Chawa.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. And we really appreciate the comments from members. We will deal with specific questions. I think, and then Paul Mkonyana will also come in. I think with respect to the content of the course, it does actually have in it, it's a certificate course, so it's not a degree. It does have modules such as gender bias, development leadership, individual overcoming barriers, optimizing potential, women as strategic leaders, and then of course issues around how do you negotiate with power? So the modules are quite fascinating. I do know that I think one or two members even got onto the course itself. I will also link that with the forum. The forum has the terms of reference. It has its executive, and we've located its honorable members within the wellness team, or shall I say the wellness unit, because it broadly looks at the well-being of female officials in parliament. So they develop their own terms of reference, and they have an executive that is led by women, some sitting in supply chain management, some sitting in research, some in content under committees. So it's a variety of women there who have quite good capabilities. And we think it's a forum that will really grow in the confidence of women in parliament and ensuring things such as succession and coaching and mentoring. And then I do want to talk about, Honorable Khadebe, you're right. We started the comparison around the demographics of parliaments in the SADC, and indeed that's what we're going to be using. And we will also use a lot of other examples from other parliaments. And as far as I know, because I do attend the meeting of the secretaries of parliaments in SADC, I know of two women who are secretaries, that's Uganda and Botswana. The rest are males who've been there for decades. But I think we ourselves can actually improve in terms of the leadership of women. In terms of the breakdown, indeed, we do have a breakdown that shows you within the category of women, where are they in terms of employment level. And the concentration is really below that. It's much lower within the A to C band. And we do have such a breakdown. I know Mr. Mkonyana has it, but it might not be here. Something that we will definitely share with you, because it helps us to monitor whether our strategy is intervening effectively to address inequality among women in parliament. And historically, what we've also established is that having parliament in Cape Town is quite a challenge. It is easy for a male candidate to uproot their family much quicker than a female candidate. And we've lost a lot of those female candidates after they've been successful in an interview panel. When given an appointment letter or an offer, they ask, they can't come down with their families. But males are easily, obviously it's an expression of the socialization of the country, obviously socialization of gender equity, it's a historical thing. But we keep trying to get as competent females as we can. Internally, ADVET, we do that, Honorable Mabe. We actually, between A and C bands, A will be the entrance, C band, we definitely start focusing on internal advertising to encourage applications from internal candidates. Sometimes we get it. If we don't, we go outside to get more adverts coming in for us. The argument we also have is you do want to balance what's in here with the new blood being infused into parliament for growth. Bo can talk on the exit interviews, because I think he did refer to it, and then he can talk on the succession policy. I will talk on the reason we just have that date of the 1st of April as an outer date, Honorable Mauter, primarily because we factored in the fact that Secretary to Parliament is appointed by the two houses. So we've just factored in the in cases, you know, the risk of what if the house doesn't sit, how do we get the names, the motivation to employ to the two houses at the time when it's convenient. And we also have assumptions that some of the people or whoever could be offered this job would actually be employed elsewhere, so there will be time for resignation. The earlier, April is the outer. We expect that it could be earlier next week, as I reported, I think, at the Chief Whip Forum, and that we are going to have a multi-party panel of interviews. So we still have to organize that area of how we constitute the multi-party under the guidance of the executive authority. Honorable Broughton, sir. The CRECH history is amazing. There was an SRS school in Parliament. It was shut down.
What we did last year after the sixth parliament, the speaker said, can you look at indeed reviving the nursery school? We went to Public Works and found out that building was given to the presidency. And then what we have done, there's a whole report we've looked at. We've looked at, can we not possibly find another building that is suitable and that can allow for women and young mothers to bring their children in. And we have identified that the other alternative would be some form of a partnership with the ECDs. A project team has been looking at that. We have even costed the feasibility of having such a nursery school. I think the biggest thing we are going to have to resolve is where is it located. If we are able to retrieve the building that was used, we can, but it's something that's definitely the speaker, when she arrived on the sixth term of this parliament, I asked that we should do that because she also has experience of the nursery school that was here. What else? Yeah, I think I've covered what I could. I will ask Mr. Mukonyan to cover at least the succession policy, exit interviews, and any other matter that I might have left out. And as I said, we do appreciate your input. Bob?
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you very much, ma'am. And also let me thank the honourable members for the guidance. Indeed, I've captured all the input. This is going to help us a lot in terms of shaping our strategy, ma'am, and honourable members. Maybe on the matter that was raised with regards to mentoring, the honourable member is correct. I think I must say that this was one of the reasons, really, and if anything, the main reason that we actually moved away from the one-year internship that we used to do in Parliament, because colleagues would bring in a graduate for 1 year. 1 year is really not enough for a young graduate to be able to grasp the work of Parliament and be ready to apply for employment elsewhere. So that was one of the reasons that we said, no, let's move away from the internship and rather introduce what we now regard as a graduate development program, which is a three-year program. So during that three-year program, a young graduate fresh from university will be mentored by various experts, people with experience within the institution, with the aim that at the end of the 3 years, that graduate will then be employed in Parliament. So the three-year period will now allow the young graduate to be able to acquire the necessary skills, whether they use it in Parliament or in other legislatures or even elsewhere in the country. It will be solid experience and not just exposure, which is what your one-year internship. As important as the internship is, one of the shortcomings that we believe is in that program is that 1 year is really not enough for a mentorship, real mentorship, to happen to a young graduate. And we also acknowledge the importance of that process, honourable members. Hence, we are also starting with a small number of graduates. The institution initially recommended that we bring more than 40. However, the approach was let's bring 40, which is a manageable number, and to make sure that we are comfortable that the process of mentoring the young graduates is settled, and we are happy that graduates are able to grow into and achieve their own potential in the organization. So, and we'll be able to come and report to this committee, honourable members, in terms of how the progress with regards to those graduates. Honourable members, also on the issue of knowledge management and institutional memory, honourable members are correct. I think that is one of the challenges that we are dealing with and trying to get right, because the unfortunate thing is that at least now that we are keeping an eye on the our age grouping and by when colleagues will be exiting the system or are likely to exit the system, we are issues that came out of the previous exit interviews and some of the efforts that we've put in place to try to mitigate against the concerns that were raised by employees. Now, that list is not exhaustive, and there are other issues that ex-colleagues raised that to date we have not been able to address, and some because of the financial constraints that we are not able to deal with. For example, on the issue of the Cape Town being very expensive, one of the issues that we were considering really was whether it's possible to identify accommodation that maybe could even be offered to colleagues that are on fixed-term contracts or colleagues that are in the offices of the presiding officers. And the challenge to date, obviously, is that one, unavailability of that accommodation, but indeed, we are trying our best to resolve some of them. As I've mentioned, one of them was on the nature of employment contracts, honorable members. And we like to think, especially when we look at colleagues that are leaving the institution, we've really stabilized that level of spend. And I must say, honorable members, it was always difficult sometimes that for someone to leave a permanent job at a C-band and apply for a senior professional job that is on contract. So you'd find that in the past someone is ready, has the qualification, the experience, but they're just scared to make that next leap to move into a senior post purely because it was a fixed-term contract. So over time and with recognition from the leadership that we need to review that decision, we think that has actually gone a long way to try to stabilize, especially the on the retention side, that fewer and fewer colleagues are leaving the institution, which we believe is very positive in terms of institutional memory, honorable members. On the last point, honorable co-chair, with regards to people with disabilities, we are glad you'll be keeping an eye on us because we also want to make a difference. We believe that that is an area that we also need to work hard on, and we are looking forward to working closely with organizations such as SADA, over and above employment, but also to put in programs such as ensuring there is awareness, there is understanding of the challenges that people with disability experience. But also for us to review our policies in terms of being more accommodative to people with disability. Thank you very much, ma'am. I hope I've covered all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have covered all of them. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the positive responses. Let me just check if there are any hands. None. Co-chair?
Chair, I want to raise some issues.
You want to make a follow-up?
Chair, not a follow-up on this, just on some other issues.
No, no, it's fine. I want to close this matter. If the co-chair is fine and there is...
I'm fine, Chair.
All right, it's fine. Thank you very much, Mem Chawa. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on you. But otherwise, we're happy about the commitments that you have made. We hope in the next financial year, when you come to present to us, would have achieved something. Thank you very much.
And if
there are members of your team that wish to exit, they can do so. We're just dealing with internal matters. Even yourself, you can leave if you feel like.
Okay. Thank you so much for the time, honorable members, and all the comments. We are leaving now the platform. Thank you.
Okay. All right. You're welcome.
Thank you. Safe weekend.
Team. Honorable team.
Thank you, Jess. Chair, just two very quick things. I'm one of the members who always prepares for meetings, and so the first thing is I read through the minutes, and I saw there was an undertaking in the minutes from last week that that DPWI would provide us with a whole long list of information. And it specifically said in those minutes, within 7 days. Now, that's today. So my first question is, maybe Cindy knows, have they provided all that information? Or are we again going to be messed around by DPWI? Because we need answers to those questions. And then leading into that, Chair, the other documents that we can't deal with today, because we don't have a quorum, are responses to questions from August 2019. So over a year later, if you look at that, if you look at the document circulated, the document is dated August 2019. The questions about the remuneration of people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are we really only getting answers back over a year later to questions that we asked? Is that acceptable to this committee? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Tim. It's definitely not acceptable that when we raise questions, we respond, they're responded to in after 12 months. It's also not acceptable that when we approve items, they also take a year to be tabled before Parliament. We are not a by-the-way issue. We exist equally like other committees of Parliament. But there are things that there's one issue that is beyond our control, which is the quorum. But we spoke about it earlier on, that from the ANC side, we've made an undertaking that Honorable Khadebe will have to go make a follow-up and ensure that as and when we require a quorum to process issues, at least from the ANC side, we are all present. Today, we can't blame members that are not here from the NCOP. It is because of ill health, so we can't blame them. They did not abscond.
If I can just clarify, I'm not having a go at our committee. I think our committee is great, and I understand that. The problem I have is with Parliament not listening to us.
I'm coming to Parliament. I felt it would be important that I also raise that, because in our last meeting, we were in the last House sitting. We were terribly embarrassed. Because of we tabled a report that took more than a year to be presented before Parliament. So those are the internal house issues that we need to really talk about and try and resolve. Now, with regards to departments and Parliament providing responses to the committee, there's a policy on that. And if we take a decision in a meeting that we need a report within 7 days, that report must make sure that it finds its way in our tables, on our tables, on the sixth day, at least the latest. So that on the seventh day, if we decide that we want to reconvene for a meeting, we should do that. So I am not sure whether they give us the answer that we said they should give to us or not. I'm also noting that this report that we are going to, that's going to be tabled to us also, is longer. I want to also say that it has not been a normal year because of we spent a lot of time being at home, and that could just maybe cost a delay for this other reports to be tabled. But I want to briefly ask Cindy to share with us if she does have information regarding the report. If not, Cindy?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm here. Chair of the DPWI, and I've been in communication with the DPWI this week, and
we assumed that the 7 days was 7 working days, so the last day is on Tuesday. That's the 7th working day since last Friday. And then on the HR documents that I shared this week that were dated August 2019, those were documents that I was just reminding members of, but they were originally distributed in August 2019. I just shared them with members again because today's item is related to those documents. Originally, the meeting was scheduled to take place much earlier, but it was postponed, and so we managed to schedule it this term. So that's the thing on the documents. Yes, and the reports and the minutes that we have outstanding are reports dating back only to, our minutes dating back to August, the 28th of August, and the reports are the reports of that meeting. But unfortunately, we can't adopt them if we don't have a quorum. And on the NCOP side, we cannot co-opt members. So it's not possible to adopt them if we don't have a quorum, on the NCOP side especially, because we've got very few members there. And the NA side, there's more room for members to be absent, and we can still continue.
All right. Thanks for that, Cindy. Members, there you have it.
Chair?
Tim, yes?
Chair, I do apologise to Cindy. She's quite correct. It is 7 working days. But, you know, us politicians work every day, so we don't take weekends off. Count 7 in a straight line, not this weekend stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's, well, fine. Chair, all I'm trying to say is, and I'm just drawing from my experience in SCOPA in the previous term, is that when a department promised something to us, and they didn't comply in time. I remember our chair, Temba Gordy, was very, very good at immediately writing them a letter and censuring them, and actually saying to them, who do you think you are? Do you not take us seriously? And I would like this committee to have the same sense of pride, that when departments don't report to us on time, we actually give them a clap. We give them a good hard smack and say, we deserve respect, and you will respect this committee and comply on time. So if those documents are not received by Tuesday, I just encourage yourself and Ses Mashlangu to please take them on and censure them for not respecting us. That's all I'm asking for, Chair. Thank you very much.
That's fine. It's a fair request. Don't worry. We are watching them. Come Tuesday, the report must be on the table. Members, if there's no... Co-chair, before I close the meeting, is there anything that you'd like to say?
No, Chair, except for agreeing with and Tim and also confirming or assuring him that I communicated to Cindy that she should write them a letter to remind them. And then
okay,
we agree. At last.
All right. All right. Okay. Then that brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much, members, for
thank
your time
you
and for your patience.
Bye.
Thank you. Hello, Marco.
Hi.
Thank you, everyone. Hello. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.